Have you ever heard the sound of freedom? Have you ever heard the sound of freedom?
You're listening to The Flip Side with Noah Filippiak, connecting the reality of the gospel to the grid of life. You can support the podcast and pick up some sweet Flipside swag at www.patreon.com/Noah Filippiak.
What is up, Flipoponami? If you're watching on YouTube, welcome to my new studio. It's so fancily decorated, I know. I moved all my podcast stuff to my office, my church office. We just rent this little office space for our church plant. I am, as I said last episode, I am working on living a more integrated life. Instead of being a ping pong ball that's bouncing all over the place. So podcast studio got moved from my beloved basement office at home with all my books and my kids' drawings. I did bring a little bit of Flipside with me to the office here for the podcast. Got the sticker in the middle. My third favorite podcast is the Flipside. That is our goal around here, to be your third favorite podcast. Don't want to try too hard. Just kind of happy there with the bronze. And also, shout out, got the stickers up from Five Lakes Coffee, Angry Brew Coffee, which is made by Five Lakes. Today I am drinking Chris's Blend here in my Flipside mug. Chris's Blend is a medium roast where a dollar of your bag of coffee goes to support an orphanage in Honduras. And so go to fivelakes.com, angrybrew.com, pick up a bag of Chris's Blend or Angry Brew. Use promo code FLIP and you will get 10% off your order. Shout out and a big thank you to Angry Brew for supporting the show. Speaking of supporting the show, I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I am going down to one podcast episode per month. Until we're able to kind of bring in some more Patreon support. I'm just trying to create room in my life to be right now a full-time pastor planting a church here in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as well as writing. I've got some exciting book stuff coming out this year soon, a teen book on sex and pornography. It's 60 pages. It's for guys and girls, teenagers, and then hopefully down the road, a devotional book on the Psalms that I have written and I'm really excited about. So anyway, your support will allow me to take some time off of some of the church responsibilities and bring someone else in as a co-pastor to take some of those on, which is exciting. And I love the co-pastor model anyway. I think it's really healthy. So anyway, that wasn't very short, was it? But you should know that from me, that nothing I say on here is going to be very short. We'll see how well my amazing editor, Alan, can edit this in. Shout out to you, Alan. You are a magician. Or are you a wizard? That's a very inside joke between me and Alan. You should listen to the Wonderful Lizard, the Wonderful Lizard of Oz, Alan's podcast. It's incredible. It is my new first or second favorite podcast. It's way better than this one. It's so funny. All right. This is something I'm editing in that I forgot to say. It had nothing to do with that. But shout out. Speaking of Patreon, we have some new Patreon givers. So I just want to say a shout out. Thank you to Kevin, who just joined as a new Patreon giver. And also want to thank you to a different Alan. So different Alan and Janie for doubling their giving. So that's also an option. And I'm just really, really thankful. You guys giving are making this, literally at this point, making this podcast possible. And so I just really want to say thank you for jumping onto the team. Back to your regularly scheduled programming. Let me introduce our guest to you. Michelle Sanchez is coming back on the show. She's been on before, episode 75. Go back and check that one out. We talked about her book, Color Courageous Discipleship. Michelle recently became the executive director of Revoice, and she's going to read to you the Revoice mission statement at the beginning of the interview. But it's a ministry for LGBTQ+, same-sex attracted people, and we'll talk all about that. Let me read you Michelle's bio, and then we will jump right in to the interview. Michelle Sanchez currently serves as executive director of Revoice. Prior to this, Michelle served as executive minister of Make and Deepen Disciples for the Evangelical Covenant Church. Shout out to the ECC. That's my denomination. So she's worked as an investment banker with Goldman Sachs and has served in various capacities with the Institute for Bible Reading, CRU, and the Lausanne Movement. Michelle earned an MDiv and THM from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, completed spiritual direction training at Boston College, and studied the life and times of Jesus at Jerusalem University College. She is the author of Color Courageous Discipleship, Color Courageous Discipleship Student Edition, and the picture book, God's Beloved Community. Find her at MichelleTSanchez.com. And with that, let's jump in to conversation number two with Michelle Sanchez. I'm very pleased to welcome back Michelle Sanchez to the Flipside podcast. Welcome back, Michelle.
How fun it is to be back again. Good to be here, Noah.
Thanks. Well, welcome. Last time we talked, we were talking about race and racial justice and your new book, Color Courageous Discipleship. Today, we're going to talk about your new position at Revoice, Executive Director of Revoice. And so thank you for being willing to come on and talk about this. Sexuality, the LGBTQ plus community is something that's big on my heart. Just friends that are walking, following Jesus, trying to, you know, I struggle with the words to say to it, but trying to figure out what it means to be same-sex attracted or gay and to love Jesus in the Bible. And just thank you for entering that space and being now a key leader in that space. So I want to turn it over to you, but I don't know if everyone listening knows what Revoice is. Can you just kind of catch us up on what is Revoice for somebody unfamiliar with it?
Oh, I would be so happy to. So let me start. Revoice is a very unique ministry. Let me just start by sharing the mission statement, okay? So the mission of Revoice is to support and encourage gay, lesbian, bisexual, or other same-sex attracted Christians, as well as those who love them, so that all in the church might be empowered to live in gospel unity while observing the historic Christian doctrine of marriage and sexuality. And to clarify, that is that sex is meant to be expressed in marriage between a man and a woman. Now, Noah, we are very unique in that this is a ministry really by and centering the experiences of same-sex attracted Christians. We also can use the language of sexual minorities. Mm-hmm. People, again, who are experiencing same-sex attraction, lesbian, gay, bisexual. But this is a group of Christians that deeply believes and is committed to the traditional understanding of sexuality and marriage. And it is, as you might expect, we are misunderstood by people both on the right and on the left. You know, I should say the far right and the far left.
Yeah.
Just the idea that, okay, well, if you're Christian, why are you even really, you know, talking about sexuality like this? Or of course, if you're not Christian or if you are more affirming, it's like, well, you know, you all are just oppressive, you know, to yourselves, right? So there's plenty of room for misunderstanding. But Revoice, you know, we were founded in 2018. By a group of sexual minorities who just said, wow, we need a safe space to process what it looks like to follow Jesus and also to encourage others to do the same within their communities, churches, and spaces. So just a couple other things I'll mention. So since being founded in 2018, we've hosted 6 annual conferences. That's been the biggest thing we do. They are open to everyone. Multiple virtual events, discipleship groups now in over 30 cities and growing. Mm. And we are bringing transformation to churches across the country through coaching and so much more. Mm.
Thank you. I love it. And you're hitting on a topic we're going to talk about in a few minutes. The polarization that's out there, yes, in the church and the divisive nature in the church. And you know, we're heading into an election season, and we love our categories, right? We love, do you match my set of things, really, that my often political party agrees with? And if you don't, you're out, you're the enemy. You know, we you're either one or the other. There's not a lot of nuance. So we're going to talk about that because you've kind of entered the crosshairs. I mean, you've signed up for this kind of nuanced where, yeah, both sides kind of have their targets set on you. So I do want to ask you just kind of personally, what made you interested in the role at Revoice as executive director? You know, last time we talked, we were talking about Color Courageous Discipleship and just a wonderful book that you've written on racial justice and reconciliation. And also, you know, and again, people use different words for this too. Let me give a disclaimer. I probably will say this in my intro because I haven't done my intro yet. But again, because we're so polarized, I have listeners on the left and on the right, and some are going to get triggered by words like gay, and some would get triggered by words like same sex attracted. And so I'm using both. I think Revoice would use both. I know we've talked with many kind of Revoice. I've interviewed Nate Collins on the podcast before and many Revoice friends on the podcast. So just for listeners, you know, for me, I use try to use gay and same-sex attracted together because I know people that are more comfortable with one label or the other for different reasons. And I just want to respect that. And so even as I ask you this next question, I'm going to ask you, some might not expect someone who's straight and cisgender to lead Revoice. And some might say, why are you using the word cisgender? I'm just saying, like, you know, it's just like, just kind of, just don't judge if you're a listener, just let us have a conversation. But someone, you're not a sexual minority and you're leading Revoice. And so just tell us about that. Tell us kind of what made you interested in the position and maybe even some of what your vision is for being the executive director of Revoice.
Yeah, and you're right. We're in the midst of quite a few battles and a polarization over language in this conversation. I also want to clarify that from the standpoint of Revoice, we try to be very intentional to use both as well. We want to be a place where anyone who agrees with our statement of faith and the historic doctrine of marriage can feel welcome. And so every time we talk, we also, like you, try to refer to both gay, lesbian, or whatever, and sexual, same-sex attracted. And so that is a value for us as well. Okay, gosh, how did I get to Revoice? This is a Jesus. I mean, this is a fantastic question. And yes, yes, I am a straight cisgender woman. And so do not identify myself with the LGBTQ community. But my goodness, let me say a couple of different things about how I got here. First, yes, last time I was here, I was talking about Color Courageous Discipleship. I was talking about race. But, you know, I actually don't consider myself to be a quote unquote an expert in race or that that's my main thing. My main thing, Noah, is discipleship. It's discipleship.
Yeah.
And what I find myself continually drawn to by God, I believe, is to speak into and provide some leadership within the most challenging discipleship questions of our day. So for me, that's it. And it just so happens that in this generation for disciples of Jesus, there's some big questions about what it looks like to follow him faithfully when it comes to race. And again, that was the last conversation.
Yes.
But also human sexuality. What does it look like to be faithful to Jesus in this area, to reflect him, to follow him? And so I've actually worked pretty strongly in both, not just through the books that I've written, but also in my previous work with the Covenant Church. Mm-hmm. I led the Covenant Evangelical Covenant Denomination's Human Sexuality Discipleship Initiative called Embrace. And you can check that out as well if you just Google it. But I've really been involved with both of these for a while. And the common thread is discipleship. The common thread is, you know, we have not as a church, I think, been discipled well in either one of these areas to really reflect the heart of Christ. And so I want to help with that.
Yeah,
I want to help with that. And so that's part of what has brought me to Revoice. But, you know, I would also say this in terms of their vision and why they would hire me, you know, someone who is straight, cisgender. Revoice has grown. It is continuing to grow. And what they're looking for, what they know has to happen is more and greater partnership with the larger church, which is obviously majority, you know, straight cisgender, you know, at this time. And so, you know, what does it look like to develop more friendship, more relationship, more partnership, you know, and really link arms together in the name of Christ? And so, you know, their hope certainly is that I might help to do that. And I'm honored for the invitation.
Yeah. And shout out to the ECC, my denomination as a church planter. And that's actually one. So, yeah, I want to echo what you said. I'm if you were to go through my podcast subjects, there's a lot of subjects on race and racism, racial justice. There's a lot of subjects on sexuality, LGBTQ plus sexuality. And for me, I think there's a common denominator between the two, and that, you know, you obviously have a heart for minorities that are oppressed, and minorities that they're facing injustices. And, you know, when you certainly they're two very different categories. They're with very different backgrounds and contexts. But yes, the heart of Jesus, I think, for the oppressed and, oftentimes the vulnerable as well comes out. It's particularly when you're just getting life on life with people and you're going, whoa, like this, what? And the church said what to you? And the church did what to you, you know? So yes. I definitely feel that. Yeah.
Amen. Absolutely.
I have many books in the future I want to write that are all over the place. And I've been told I'm not allowed to do that. You have to like write one book and then only write in that category. So I'm not going to be doing that. And shout out, you know, to you for also, you know, because I feel like we're pastors, we're just dealing with all of the Bible, all of discipleship, you know, and here we go. So, yeah.
You know what? Let me say one other thing. Yeah. As well, Noah, just one other point of connection. So anywhere that there are people, anywhere that there's people, unfortunately, you're probably going to have racial division or some kind of racial marginalization as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting looking at the intersectionality here, even at Revoice for a while, you know, has been kind of predominantly white and not really reaching all of the LGBTQ same-sex attracted community. And so, you know, before I got there, you know, created a statement of we want to reach all this entire community and not leave anybody behind. And so, you know, there is overlap, you know, with the work, but yes, I refuse to speak only on one thing. It's like whatever Jesus cares about, we need to be caring about.
Yep. Amen to that. All right. Well, let's talk about some of this divisiveness. This was back in November, I found it on my feeds. You know, I don't go looking for this stuff, and I try to avoid these black holes. I try to avoid the Christian gossip cycle, but like friends of mine are getting called out. Like I'm friends with Revoice. I'm friends with Nate. I'm friends with Preston Sprinkle. They've both been on the podcast, you know, I need to reframe my tone here. So, November 10th at Liberty University's convocation, Rosaria Butterfield, she called out Revoice, Preston Sprinkle's Exiles in Babylon conference, sponsored by his heretical Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender. Have had Greg Coles and Lori Krieg on here as well, who are both part of the center. And she also calls out Crew, which is Campus Crusade, for spreading these concepts as lies. And the lies they're quoted right before that. She's asking the students at Liberty, have you ever heard that same-sex attraction is a sinless temptation and only a sin if you act on it? Or that people who experience same-sex attraction are actually gay Christians called to lifelong celibacy? Or that people who experience same-sex attraction rarely, if ever, change and therefore should never pursue heterosexual marriage? And then she calls out your organization and Preston's and others as being lies, and specifically Center for Faith, Sexuality, and Gender is heretical. So I'm not asking you, and I could pick these statements apart. I'm not going to. I'm not asking you to do that. What came up to me was, I meant to say, if the Flipside podcast was bigger, if I was like you know, doing, if I was, you know, more well known, she could have added me to her list. So that's when you know you've made it, is when someone's calling you out as heretical,
exactly.
Like nationally, you're like, I've made it. I haven't made it yet. So what breaks my heart though is the division in the church. And like you mentioned at the intro, there's the open and affirming side, and they would say, Christians, right? And there's kind of classic sort of books and authors around the open and affirming theology, and they would be saying that essentially you'll find diversity there, but essentially sex between same sex is okay. Many would say, like, maybe within marriage, like a man and a man marriage, woman woman marriage is okay. You know, the Bible is good with this. And then you have, I guess the polarity on the extreme would be where Rosari is coming from. Correct me if I'm saying it wrong, but it feels like they're saying, you know, if you feel same-sex attraction, like that attraction is a sin, which again, I said I wouldn't pick it apart, but I can't help it. It's wild to me. Cause like, I am attracted to women that are not my wife. Like that's just part of, but I don't act on it. Like, I choose to just be faithful to my wife. And when I was single, I like chose not to act on those attractions. Anyway, okay. My question though is like, why is this, I guess you call it the far right, like the conservative side. Why are they attacking you guys? Like, why? And it's not just you guys. It's like calling Preston's group heretical. I mean, heresy means you're not a Christian. Like, if you look up the definition of heresy, they would like call people, a heretic was someone who said like Jesus wasn't God. You know, that would be a heretic in the early church. That is a really, really devastating accusation and really strong accusation to make about someone. So I'm just bringing this up so listeners can understand some of the climate. And what I'm wondering is, how do you navigate that climate of division that's in the church? And frankly, I'm going to say right here, there's both sides of those polarities have Christians who love Jesus.
Oh yeah.
We're going to spend eternity together, you know? Yeah. How do you navigate all that?
Oh, Noah.
On your first day on the job, you stepped into it, right? She
yeah,
said
did.
Those statements, and then you took the job. So
I did indeed. No denying it. Well, let me say a couple things. First of all, you named Rosaria. And so I will say, we love Rosaria. We love Rosaria, and we love the people who love Rosaria.
Mm-hmm.
As brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no denying Rosaria's service to the church and the power of her testimony. We thank God. We give thanks for Rosaria. And with her, we also have a high view of Scripture. We are firmly committed to upholding the orthodox tenets of the historic Christian faith. It is a top priority for us, and I believe we share that. With respect and without specifically commenting on what she said at this time, we want to say that many of Revoice's critics, we feel, are critiquing us for things that we don't actually do or believe. Simply put. And so I think there's a fair amount of misunderstanding or misrepresentation, and also not saying that it's necessarily intentional. And I'd like to see us do a better job of clarifying what it is that we are saying and what we are promoting, you know. I do encourage everyone to view our statement of faith as well as our statement on sexual ethics and Christian obedience. I don't really recognize Revoice in the things that many people have said about us. I'll just put it like that.
Yeah.
And so the other thing I want to say, just taking a step back, Noah, Jesus's harshest critics also came from what we can call the ultra-conservative side. Not the liberals, really, you know? Right. It was those, the Pharisees, et cetera, folks who took the scriptures very, very, very seriously and who were extremely concerned about heresy, you know, that were his harshest critics. Well, in fact, he was also put on trial for heresy, right? And so there's a way in which I think we need to just constantly remember, you know, like our Savior, sometimes you are advocating for the right thing, but maybe misunderstood, just as he was. It is a joy and an honor for me to lead an organization that I believe is advancing grace and truth. Even though we are experiencing some misunderstanding or misrepresentation, because I feel that we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, and the work that we're doing is critical. And like Christ, you know, if the things that we're saying or doing are truly, you know, not in line with God, then I hope and pray that he'll stop what we're doing. You know, I mean, we don't want that, you know, we don't want that. But of course we don't believe that. And we believe that in time, you know, and through faithful perseverance and service, the truth will win out.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. And just some context, as you were talking, I realized, like, people like us, we know who these people are and their stories. And so for listeners, just briefly, Rosaria Butterfield was a lesbian in a lesbian relationship at some point. And I'm just kind of paraphrasing the bullet points here. She became a Christian. I don't know the exact timeline, but she became a Christian. She left her lesbian relationship and lesbian lifestyle. She married a man, and I believe, and you don't, again, I'm not asking to comment on this, but I believe she claims now, like, that she's straight, essentially, or like that she's no longer has any, you know, she's not LGBTQ at all or same sex attracted at all. And so therefore that's where, you know, so that's her context. So you can kind of see one, why that would be a popular message, I think, for certain folks, and also kind of where some of her judgment towards groups that are like, well, that's not our experience, you know, kind of thing. So, and I'll just say for myself, that every gay or same sex attracted person that I know, even those in mixed orientation marriages, they're honest about. I'm not saying she's being dishonest. I'm saying they're just honest in their story. Their story's different. And even in those in mixed orientation marriages, which is when you have one spouse who would be LGBTQ plus, same-sex attracted, married to someone who's straight. Yes. And they're still have same-sex attraction, and there's all kinds of, I recommend Impossible Marriage by Lori and Matt Krieg is a great example of that. Lori and I talked about that on here, if somebody wants to read more about that. But anyway, that's just not the experience of really anyone that I've ever met that's in ministry, as a pastor at my church, that's in doing my Beyond the Battle groups with guys. We have a good amount of SSA guys who come through, through people I've interviewed on here. So all that comes back to what I'm sad about just as a whole. And I'm currently reading a book and just watched a documentary on Christian nationalism, I'm really sad about how divided our culture is, how divided Christians are, and how we're attacking each other. And like both sides, I think the left and the right have created their package of, like, this is what it means to be a Christian on the left, and this is what it means to be a Christian on the right. And if you don't fall into one of these two, you are a blank. You know, if you don't fall into our category, you are a blank, and they have a name for you if you don't fall into their category. And I just applaud what you're doing at Revoice. I think in the area of sexuality, you're trying to create, you're doing your best to create a biblical, nuanced view. And at the very least, no matter if someone listening is on the left or right, we've got to learn to talk as Christians, treat each other like Christians, like Jesus. Like, we need to treat each other like Jesus would, because Christians are really mean. Like, Christians, not all, but like, can be the meanest people around when it comes to the way we talk about others. And I'm sad. And so I don't know. We need to bring
that
up.
My heart also breaks with you, Noah. My heart also breaks. And I think it is helpful to take a step back and realize, yeah, this kind of polarization and divisiveness is happening on a larger level,
yeah,
right? Like it's happening all over the place. You know, whatever the subject matter, there is just polarization, misunderstanding, totally. Divisiveness, fragmentation, you know, over and over and over, we see that pattern. And so, yes, you know, we're talking about some ways in which that's manifest in the sexuality conversation, but of course it's also manifest in the race conversation.
Yeah.
I say anything about race and I'm woke immediately,
yeah.
Whatever, suddenly that's a bad word and all of that. I mean, it just over and over, we see many examples and I just try to remind myself like, look, you know, faithful, just be a faithful Christian follower yeah. of Jesus today. Keeping in mind that he also had a pretty challenging time dealing with the world around him, including the religious establishment. And he just persevered. I'm following in his footsteps.
Yeah. 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 That's well said. And I hope there's a growing group of Christians that's wanting to do the same. Advice I would give to listeners, and I think about this with Rosaria's comments, I do feel like her comments at least fall in line with the broader system that's in place, right? So you say certain things, you're going to get your side to like it. You're going to get your side to, you know, retweet it or whatever. That goes on the left. It goes on the right. It goes on with Christians. It goes on with non-Christians. And I would just encourage Christians not to follow people like that. Like, don't follow people that are just saying things to get like the likes and the applause of their side, because I could like easily, I could go left or right. And I could just create this podcast into like the super Christian left podcast or the super Christian right podcast. And I could tell you the five categories I talk about for the left and the five I talk about for right. I'd be way more popular. I mean, I would be way more right. Cause that's what people want. But at that point, you don't even have beliefs anymore. At that point, you're just saying the things that like your in-group has told you, like, say this and you'll be safe, like say this and you'll get support. So I just, this is all just spontaneous. This was not on the questions I sent you and it's not directly related. But man, I'm it's heavy on my heart right now. And so we'll be talking about that more, on the flip side. And I think at my church, we're going to do like a sermon series on, like just how to talk about politics in a Jesus-like way. I think we really need that right now. So,
and let me say one other thing too, Noah, that I do think that there's so much fear underlying all of these conversations, all of these topics. There's so much fear.
Yes.
Fear of loss, fear of, heresy, fear of the future, what the church looks like, fear, fear, fear. I understand that. And I think remembering that everyone is so afraid, really, no matter how bombastic they may seem on the outside. I mean, remembering that fear really underlies it helps me to have a gracious response and helps me to remember what we believe, which is that love casts out that fear. And so I really want to center, you know, my ministry and the ministry of Revoice in the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Experiencing it, giving it, and just persisting in it, even sacrificially. And because I believe it is love that triumphs over fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a great, you could just ask the question, who are you loving? You know, even for me, for you, for listeners, to ask ourselves that question pastorally, discipleship wise, who are you loving? Who was Jesus loving? And like you said earlier, who he was loving is what made people label him a glutton and a drunkard. It's what people made him, you know, label him. He hangs out with sinners. He could never be a prophet. All these things eventually got him killed. And so what a great example, you know, we have to follow. Who are you loving? Let me shift gears back to what Revoice is up to. And I think what you specifically can help churches, you know, understand and have some empathy around. What type of pain have LGBTQ+, same-sex attracted people experienced in the church? If you can kind of generalize that or even give some examples, however you feel like is best in a brief, you know, kind of response to that.
LGBTQ people have experienced massive amounts of pain in our churches in a variety of ways. It's hard to narrow it down to just a few. But again, starting at a very big picture level, I would say that most of our churches, you know, could have done a better job in seeing same-sex attracted people among us and loving them well, treating them like, you know, with dignity and humanity, and walking with them just as disciples of Jesus. Like, because we've had so much fear of this whole community and of same-sex attraction in general, we have not done a good job of loving them. And the world has seen that. The world has seen it. And so our witness in some ways really has been compromised. Now, listen, I completely understand that just having an orthodox view on sexuality is going to make the world, you know, suspicious of the church. But I am going beyond that to some, you know, real hurts and real concerns. Okay, gosh, what kind? What are some examples? So going back to the question of, first of all, the understanding, I think, that there are many people who experience same-sex attraction, but have not chosen that experience. They haven't chosen it. And so just like many other, you know, things that we might experience and not choose, you know, this falls within that category. But because we have in the church consistently equated just the experience of same-sex attraction with condemnation, in a sense, like we have just condemned people for even having certain feelings or temptations, which has made so many feel unrelenting shame, fear of actually revealing their experiences to others, to ask for help, to seek grace and wisdom and how to live their lives. It really has created a culture in many places of that kind of fear and shame. And so, my goodness, I want to be crystal clear, you know, at Revoice, again, we do believe in the orthodox understanding of sexuality as being expressed in marriage between a man and a woman. Amen to that. But we also acknowledge that as humans, we are all fallen in different ways, and we have experiences which may not align with God's original intent. And so we would say same-sex attraction falls within that category. And the issue is not that you experience it, but what do you do with it? You know, how do you live out your life as a disciple given that experience? How do you pursue faithfulness? And we've sort of not, again, we've not done a great job at answering that question. The other thing I'll say is that in many places over the last, 50 to 100 years or so, demanded something of many LGBT people that we don't quite demand of others, which is basically to complete, well, as my friend Greg Johnson would put it in his book, Still Time to Care, a cure paradigm instead of a care paradigm, and saying, if you have same-sex attraction, the only way to honor God is essentially to completely get rid of all of that experience. You know, that is the only way to basically become heterosexual, get rid of all of your homosexual feelings. And that is it. And anything less than that, you know, is not okay. I want to fully acknowledge that there are people, absolutely, I fully believe that there are some people who have experienced some degree of a change in their experiences of sexuality. Okay, you know, fantastic. But there are also so many, and I'll venture to say so many more who don't fully experience that kind of change in their sexual orientation. And so what is our response to that? Is it going to be more condemnation, you know, or is it going to be, hey, yes, we all have experiences that don't necessarily align with God's intent. Let's support each other.
Yeah.
Instead of condemning one another and take steps forward. So I think, you know, to answer your question, you said, how has the church hurt LGBT people or caused pain? Oh, there's so many ways. But I think essentially seeing LGBT people as like so totally other and demanding a kind of perfection in terms of a complete release you know, from the things that they've experienced that are not in line with God's original intent. It's really caused a lot of same-sex attracted people to feel shame, to hide, or to just leave the church entirely. It's time for a different way.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. That is well said. I think with, you think about discipleship, your passion, you know, and there's such an incredible double standard there where, so many of the stories I know are people that I know that I walk with. It's like, I was 11 years old and I started, you know, if I'm a guy, I started being attracted to other boys, or I was 13 years old and, you know, I started being attracted to other boys, or if it's a girl, you know, other girls. And you're just like, you're in middle school or upper elementary, and you think about how confusing of a time that is. In general, you're hitting puberty, sexuality, and now this, and then you're hearing these messages from the church about, you know, if you're gay, then you're going to hell. If you're, you know, I've heard these just awful quotes from pastors and parents, you know, if I found out my kid was gay, I'd blah, blah, blah. And it's an impossible task, I think, that the church has asked. The work you're doing is messy. It's messy. I think each individual person's journey is different and messy. And, we have to get to a point in the church where we're willing to walk with people. We're willing to love people. We're willing to listen, to people's stories. And yeah, that's where my pastor heart breaks, because, yeah. The things the church is saying just aren't true, you know, about, like, I can't name you one gay Christian friend of mine or same-sex attracted friend of mine who hasn't prayed on repeat, God, make me straight. God, make me straight. God, make me straight, over and over and over again for years. And then when he doesn't, what kind of faith crisis you're in.
That's right.
Why isn't God answering this prayer? What's wrong? He must really hate me now. And what a burden we have made, you know, LGBTQ, same-sex attracted Christians carry as they try to figure this stuff out.
We don't want to add burdens, you know, to people that God is not asking them to carry. I affirm that.
What is some practical advice you have for churches? This could be, you know, listening. We probably have a few pastors listening, a few church leaders listening, certainly just a lot of churchgoers. But what's your advice to churches? I think churches have handled this really, really poorly. And we obviously, you know, we're going to have churches listening on the left and on the right. But what would your advice be to churches that are just saying, hey, we want to do better at this?
Okay. There's so many things I could say in this area. Here's what comes to mind first. So I would want to encourage pastors and leaders to spend time with and listen to and learn from LGBTQ people who hold the orthodox sexual ethic. Listen to them, learn from them, because honestly, I think these are some of the most amazing,
amen,
Christ-centered leaders you will ever meet.
I totally agree.
And have thought so profoundly about these subjects and frankly, all of discipleship. If you ask me what's one of the reasons I took this role, it was so that I can get to hang out with these incredible brothers and sisters in Christ who are following God with everything that they have and could really counsel us well. How do you pastor people like them? How can you, you know, create spaces that are safe? What kind of language is helpful to use in different contexts? By the way, there's, you know, things change depending on your audience and whatnot. Oh, I could just go on. But it's a little bit similar in this way as well to the race conversation. It's like, hey, please don't only listen to other white people about how you should be better, in race if you're a white person, right? I mean, you want to also listen to ethnic minorities, people of color, to really have an understanding, deep understanding of how we can move forward together. And so truly, the Revoice movement is very unique in this way because we are gathering and raising up incredible, incredible leaders who have experienced same-sex attraction and are following Jesus with everything and working very hard to figure out how to help churches, how to help families, how to help leaders do a better job of loving like Christ. And so really, that is one. Come to the Revoice conference. Hang out with us.
Yes. Nice. Good advice. Yeah. That's
Yeah.
awesome. Well, I've said this on the podcast to people I've interviewed. I feel like, and I so I'll shift it now to a straight pastor listening,
Yeah.
that the person you're talking about, someone who is same-sex attracted, LGBTQ, and they hold to a biblical, traditional, sexual ethic that you and I hold to. They have sacrificed more for their faith. They've sacrificed more for Jesus, for the gospel, than I can even comprehend as a straight individual. And I am consistently, I can't even think of the adjective for it. I want to say just heartbroken and appalled at the same time when I hear conservative churches who are, I can't think of a better word than dissing. That's like 1990s,
Yeah, it is.
give me a better word. Who are like, Greg Coles, for example. He's been on the podcast, and I'm friends, goes to a covenant church. I'm friends with this pastor, was able to hang out in Boise together last year, where you were speaking at Preston's
Yeah.
Heretical Exiles in Babylon conference, and oops. And I was, they were sharing how like Greg will go to like lined up to speak somewhere, and then the church, I don't know, they see the name of his book, Single Gay Christian or something, and they're like, oh, canceled, like we can't have you come speak. As if we treat like it's just appalling to me, and it breaks my heart, because these are Christians that are these are our leaders in following Jesus. These are our
Oh,
leaders in
my heroes, my
sacrifice, my heroes.
heroes.
Yeah, in a way,
Yeah.
like I read Single Gay Christian for someone that struggles with heterosexual sexual sin that I have to sacrifice for, and in order to follow Jesus in obedience. And I'm reading Greg's story, and I'm like, whoa, this guy, he's got to do way more than me. Like his. It was inspirational to hear how he is dependent on Jesus. It was inspirational to hear how the gospel is his life, and that following Jesus is his life. And then to hear that like the church is rejecting these people as leaders. So I totally agree with you on that. And there's one more thing I thought to say, and that's just so those, if there's listeners that are open and affirming and on the left, I know too, just from interactions with people within Revoice, within what's often called the Side B community. I know not everybody uses those terms, but many do. Side B being like the view that we hold, that Revoice holds. People are very, the LGBTQ people within the Side B community, in my experience, have been very compassionate towards Side A Christians. Side A would be open and affirming LGBTQ people. So I have not observed any sense of judgment towards people who are in, let's say, a gay relationship, interacting with people from Revoice, interacting with people from the Side B community. I think there's a lot of empathy. There's a lot of shared.
Yeah.
There's not judgment there, and I think that is beautiful. It's an example, as we talked about, like the division in the church. This is an example that I've seen from the Side B community of loving, genuinely friendship, even in community, in a way that is very Christ-like, to those who are in gay relationships and who call themselves Christians, and And we won't, you know, don't have the bandwidth in this interview to get into all of that, but I've just been really impressed by that. And I think it's worth stating something that's happening for those that know that this isn't like, if you're not like us and you're gay, like you're out of our club or something. I mean, I see a lot of, just a lot of really good friendship there.
And Revoice, you know, we love to welcome anyone on the journey. You know, you're still trying to figure it out. You know, please come on. we're waiting for you with open arms.
Well, tell us, we'll wrap things up here with a couple just practical resource things. Tell us about the Revoice 24 conference. When is it? I hope we haven't missed it. We're at the end of February now. I think it's coming up, right? Tell us a little bit about it.
Right on time. Yes. Yep. I'm so excited about Revoice 2024. It's going to be in Columbus, Ohio, June 26th through 29th. And as I mentioned earlier, it is for everyone. So for LGBTQ SSA Christians and those who love them. Okay. And so we have pre-conferences as well and tracks throughout for parents and families, for friends and allies, and of course, for LGBTQ Christians themselves. And this year, our conference is theme is Masterpiece, which is coming from Ephesians 2, declaring we're God's handiwork. And we're going to explore the ways in which LGBTQ Christians especially can be unique displays of the glory of God, which is really what we've just been talking about. And also that God is calling us all, including LGBTQ Christians, to make masterpieces of their lives and of the world around them and what that can look like. Also, what does it look like for churches to acknowledge the masterpieces that our brothers and sisters are to encourage them in that journey. So, so we are so excited. You can learn more. Visit us at revoice.org and please come.
Yes. Awesome. I just pulled up revoice.org while you were talking. I see a button for resources. I see a button about the conference, a button about beliefs, programs, and of course, a donate button. I would also encourage listeners, if you want to get in on this and you're like, yeah, we need more of this in the church, please donate to Revoice. That is very, very important. And I love how comprehensive, you know, what you have there is with the resources and everything. So revoice.org, please check that out. Michelle, any just closing thoughts that you want to give listeners before we wrap up?
Yes, I want to say again that at the end of the day, we want to follow Jesus. That's, I think, what this podcast is about. That is certainly what Revoice is all about. And I think it's important too to remember, okay, number one, love was the greatest commandment that Jesus taught. It is also the greatest thing that he did with his life. The sacrificial ways in which he loved, even those who persecuted him, who hated him. That is our call. That is our call 100%. I want to encourage anybody who is trying to follow Jesus and maybe suffering for it in some way or misunderstood in some way, keep on going, friend. You're not alone. You're on the right path. God is with you. God is with you. And, you know, just keep on following Jesus. He will, in the end, wipe every tear away from our eyes.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Michelle. Thanks for joining us on The Flip Side. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Noah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Do check out revoice.org. Tons of great resources on there. Check out the Revoice conference. Check out the donation link if you're able to give. Please do. I hope this conversation challenged you. Look, this is a podcast about discipleship. The tagline is connecting the reality of the gospel to the grit of life. And there's nothing more gritty in life. Grit meaning it's the dirt under your shoes. It's the reality. It's difficult. It's messy. There's nothing more grit of life than sexuality. And all of us, you know, my book Beyond the Battle dives deep into sort of some of the, I guess you could call it the heterosexual side of sexual sin, certainly welcoming SSA guys, it's a book for men, you know, to read that as well. I've had many gay, Christian, same-sex attraction guys read the book as well as jump into our groups, which has been great. But my point is, this isn't easy stuff. And I think one of my critiques of the church as a whole is we make everything sound really easy, right? We make everything sound like we've got it all figured out and there's a nice, neat box for everything. And I think that's even my critique, I'll say it, of the left and the right when it comes to this stuff, right? Like, it's so obvious, it's so clear, and there's so much grit here. There's so much nuance here. And I mean, you look at Jesus, he walked with people. Jesus walked with people. That was, a huge part of his ministry. A primary part of his ministry was walking with people. And we say do life with people. That's cliche. Are we really doing life with people, first of all, right? And yes, it's easier said than done, but being approachable is a huge piece of it. And I hope this message just challenged you today, wherever you're at, to follow Jesus more closely and to be an approachable person, to be an approachable person for sexual minorities, to be an approachable person in general, to not be a person who's lambasting the other side, who's getting on social media and you're just kind of in the echo chamber and throwing out very judgmental things. Again, both sides do it. The left does it to the right does it to the left. It's not of Jesus. It's not how we're taught to talk to other people. It's not how we're taught to treat other people. And so, let's flip side listeners, let's make a small dent in that, let's move the needle a little bit in the way that we talk about these things. So thanks for listening. This has been episode 93 of the Flip Side. So thankful to have you along. Thank you for your support. And we'll see you next time on The Flip Side.
The Flip Side with Noah Filippiak is a Beyond Ministries production. Copyright Noah Filippiak. www.noahfilippiak.com. Theme music by Kyle Lake at K-Lake Music. Used with permission. Please leave a review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. When I finish, it is time to bring me closer. That's no purgatory, because you're in or you're out. When you see them in the clouds, you know it's going down. Raise them. They've been sleeping for some ages. Now all God's babies so confused by this hatred. Pulpit preachers shouldn't aim to be A-list. Money probably long, but short is what your days.